It's a News Buzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. With the end of the 2014 legislative session behind us, we've invited Iowa Governor Terry Branstad to join our program once again to talk about some of the loose ends from the session and things to look forward to, and to answer some of your questions as well. Governor Branstad joins us by phone. Welcome, Governor.
You're welcome, Ben. I'm glad to be with you. Looks like a beautiful Memorial Day weekend coming up.
It sure does. I want to remind our listeners that we have a number of things we'd like to ask the governor about, but we have a chance for a few questions from our listeners right now. 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. Our email, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Iowa Public Radio is also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Governor, a bill legalizing the possession and medical use of cannabis oil for epilepsy patients passed the Senate and House, and I understand you announced this morning that you will sign it next week. What tipped the balance in favor of signing it after some period of contemplation?
Well, first of all, I want to compliment the parents that worked very hard to legislation. They did a good job of educating legislators and myself about the severe seizures that many of these children with epilepsy are having. Also, it was a very limited piece of legislation. It's patterned after similar laws that were passed this year in Utah and Alabama. The amount of THC is limited to less than 3%. It has to be in oil form. It has to be approved by an Iowa neurologist. And there is a sunset on this as well, a three-year sunset. So I thought it was very limited and focused and avoided the potential for unforeseen use by people that want to use it to get high or something like that, because the amount of THC is limited to less than 3%. And they tell me that really doesn't have the hallucinogenic characteristics. So based on a careful review of the legislation, we feel that it has the potential at least to help some families whose members are suffering from epileptic seizures without creating a potential for additional drug abuse.
Mm-hmm. With this medical marijuana door at least slightly ajar, do you anticipate, Governor, hearing from other patient groups next year who may seek additional medical uses for marijuana?
Well, there's always been this push, but the problem is, like in California and other states that have done that, it ends up being used for recreational purposes. It's created a lot of problems. I know I've heard from the governor of California and the governor of Colorado that they have significant problems in their state as a result of that. We don't want to get into those kind of things here. I think that's the reason why we've tried to be very cautious and careful, and yet we need to be empathetic to the families, that, especially with this particular situation with epilepsy. But I think any proposal to expand or change it is likely to significantly face resistance from those that want to see the efficacy of this proposal, which will be reviewed by the University of Iowa, medical people, as well as by other states like Alabama and Utah.
Governor, the last action taken by the democratically controlled Iowa Senate this session was to grant subpoena power to the Senate Oversight Committee, and that's the committee that held hearings on settlements paid to fired and laid off state employees. Since adjourning, that committee has not met. Do you think this measure granting subpoena power was purely political exercise, or do you expect those hearings to continue?
Well, first of all, I want to let the people of Iowa know that this administration is fully committed to be totally transparent and open. We've supplied the Oversight Committee with thousands of emails and documents, and everybody that's been asked to testify has done so. The concern I've got is the senators aren't willing to release their own emails. They hide behind legislative privilege to see if there's coordination between Senator Hatch's campaign and his colleagues who are overseeing this committee. The other thing that's really tragic is a lot of the information involving people being terminated from state government has to do with things that they did that led. Well, a good example is this mental health patient who died because a state employee over failed to follow the doctor's order that they should only be on a liquid diet, and gave the individual a peanut butter sandwich, and he choked to death. And now that individual wants to be reinstated. This is the kind of stuff that the public should have a right to know. The House passed a bill that would have made this personnel exemption, would have eliminated the personnel exemption to the open records law. I support that. I have signed an executive order banning any confidentiality agreements in settlement agreements with state employees, and requiring that all settlements be posted publicly. But many of those are redacted dramatically by the Attorney General's office, because personnel information is not subject to the open records law. And that's a big loophole that needs to be closed. And so far, Senate Democrats, although they want to talk about this issue, aren't willing to take action to really make a difference and give people of Iowa the opportunity to make their own decision based on knowing all the facts.
Governor Branstad, under a model for higher education in the state proposed by the Board of Regents, funding for the three state universities, the three public universities in the future, would be based on percentage of in-state enrollment, graduation rates, job placement, and some other things. Critics of this plan say it threatens the quality of education. To be clear, it requires no approval from the Iowa legislature or from you, the governor, to be enacted. Do you nevertheless have a position on this?
Well, I did recently meet with the University of Iowa faculty and listen to their concerns. I would point out that the formula for distributing appropriations from the state to the three Regents universities has not changed in 40 or 50 years. And the situation today is most of the students at the University of Northern Iowa are Iowa students, and because tuition is much lower for in-state tuition, they don't get near as much revenue as, say, the University of Iowa, where only about 54% of their students are Iowa students.
Mm-hmm. But does this model?
I understand some of the concerns. The University of Iowa faculty pointed out they are a major research institution. I visited recently the John Papa John Biomedical Research Facility, which is nearing completion, and that's a wonderful facility to have. It's helping attract some really outstanding scientists that are doing very important medical research. So I think those kinds of considerations should also be taken into consideration by the Regents as their committee makes recommendations to update the way the state appropriations are allocated among the universities. It is also my understanding that they intend to phase this in over a period of years.
Governor Branstad, do you plan to sign the bill the legislature passed to update Iowa's AIDS transmission laws, laws that would ease up on penalties for sexual activity when a person is infected with the HIV virus?
Yes, I do intend to sign that, and it does make a number of changes, and I think the changes are reasonable. We've carefully reviewed this situation to see that we're protecting the health and well-being of the citizens of Iowa, and I believe that it does.
Governor Branstad joining us live for the second half of River to River here on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Kiefer. Let's go to our phones, 1-866-780-9100. John is joining us from Manchester. John, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. You're on live with the governor. Do you have a question?
Yes, I was wondering if the governor was planning on signing the appropriation for the Bill Resource Enhancement and Protection Act, the $25 million that what the legislature had passed this year.
And to throw in there, the $25 million in REAP funding is the highest level of the funding for that program ever approved. Governor?
Well, there's different parts in different places in the appropriation bills, and we're presently reviewing it. Last year, due to the fact that the REAP program no longer has to pay back the funding for the bonds on facility is built down in southeast Iowa. Since they were only getting about $14 million, I think my budget recommended $16 million. But part of our problem is the funding for this is not one item. It's several different items in different places, and we are carefully reviewing. We made no decision yet in terms of the level of funding, but REAP will receive additional funding from what they've received in the past. Whether they get the whole $25 million is still very much in question.
Okay, thank you very much for that call from Manchester. Governor Branstad, after the failure of your 2013 anti-bullying bill, you convened the second statewide anti-bullying summit. That was last fall, and introduced legislation early before this session, in the session, that is. That bill died. What's the next step you'll take in to strengthen Iowa's statute against bullying?
Well, we've had two, as you pointed out, two very successful anti-bullying summits attended by over 1,100 people, including administration and faculty, students, and parents. I think a lot has been learned, and there's a lot of good strategies going on in schools across the state. I would like to update our laws so we can give our schools better tools, and especially I want to see parents notified, parents of a child that's being bullied, as well as the parents of the one that's accused of doing the bullying. And the other problem deals with cyberbullying and the use of social media to torment kids 24/7 at home on weekends as well as at school. And this can cause kids to not feel safe or comfortable at school. The bill did pass both houses, but it didn't pass in the same form. The Senate bill was amended by the House and sent back to the Senate. Unfortunately, the majority leader in the Senate did not, Senator Gronstall, did not bring this up for approval. And I know that many of the Republican senators that voted against the original Senate bill because they didn't like the fact that it created a new division in the Department of Education that spent more money would have voted for it. So we came very close to getting it done. I think if we had gotten a vote, it would have been approved. But I want to continue to work to improve our anti-bullying legislation, and I think we will consider possibly convening another anti-bullying summit in 2015 because this is an important issue. I hear from students and their families that many children in Iowa feel threatened because of bullies, and this is something that we can't tolerate. We need to make sure that we're doing all we can to educate people on how they can stand up to bullies and how we can really make sure that all of our children feel safe and wanted in their schools.
Iowa Governor Terry Branstad joining us for this portion of River to River on Iowa Public Radio Live. Quickly, what made you first start to take interest in bullying as a serious issue, Governor?
Well, I had a late uncle who was a principal, a vice principal in California, and I have a daughter that is a third grade teacher. And so I've heard that, especially since the advent of social media, bullying, which has been a problem for many, many years, has become worse. And we've also had some tragic incidents, including ones in Iowa. We had a child up in Northwest Iowa committed suicide because of being tormented. And there are others. There was actually a film made in the Sioux City school system. And Superintendent Paul Gausman, who is, by the way, the Superintendent of the Year this year, he has really taken a really strong stand. And Sioux City, which had a big problem, is really working hard to address it. And I'm pleased that many other schools around the state and many student groups, the Lieutenant Governor and I were in Algona, and the students from Algona won the contest, the anti-bullying film contest that we had at our last summit. And so we visited their school, and we saw the studio where they do their video work, and we attended a rally. And it was really proud to see the leadership that students are providing in many schools across the state to stand up to bullying and to teach their fellow students how they can effectively prevent it.
Governor Branstad, we have 5 or so minutes left. I wanted to talk with you about some more general things. How much have you been limited in your agenda by having a divided legislature to work with, the House in Republican hands, the Senate in Democratic hands?
Well, most of my public career, the other party has either controlled both houses or one of the two. And so I learned a long time ago, you have to put together an agenda that has bipartisan appeal. Last year, we had great success. We got property tax relief, education reform, and a health and wellness plan, which was a compromise, but focuses on getting people to take ownership of their own health and works in conjunction with our goal to be the healthiest state. This year, I got five of my seven priorities, including the resolution supporting renewable fuel standard and freezing tuition for the second year row at our state universities for the first time in 35 years, an apprenticeship bill, and also repurposing public school buildings for commercial purposes. A couple of things that we didn't get done, we'll keep working on. But I learned a long time ago that once the election's over, it's important to work with whoever is in the legislature, regardless of party. And I feel fortunate that we've been successful. Obviously, it's always a challenge sometimes when you have partisanship, but I try to keep my focus on the policy issues and not the politics and the personal attacks.
Let's imagine a legislature completely in Republican hands and also you as governor. What sort of legislation can you imagine being passed in that case that might not be passed otherwise?
Well, in my 20 years as governor, that only happened for 2 years, 1997 and 1998. And an example of what we did is we eliminated all inheritance tax for lineal descendants, for children and grandchildren, and we cut the Iowa income tax by 10%. We also worked on some education reform, but I didn't get as much as I wanted then. And then, last year, of course, we passed our new teacher leadership plan, which is being phased in over the next 3 years. So I'm excited about the progress we're making, and I think if I had a legislature that shared my views, we'd be able to do more to reduce the tax burden, create more good jobs, and grow the Iowa economy, as well as keep Iowa in a sound fiscal condition. Remember why I came back? Because the state was going in debt with the iJobs big bonding plan and with using one-time money for ongoing expenses. They dipped into the cash reserve and economic emergency account. We stopped all of that. We now have a balanced budget. We have long-term planning, and we're actually embarking on significant reduction in property tax and additional investment in education, including no increase in tuition, and also paying teachers more for taking on more responsibility in our teacher leadership program.
The latest GOP primaries this week on Tuesday in six states, governors saw wins by the establishment Republicans over Tea Party candidates. Do you see the same thing happening in GOP primaries here coming up on June 3rd, especially in the 1st, the 3rd congressional districts, also, of course, the primary for the open U.S. Senate seat, vied for by about five Republican candidates?
Well, I think it's kind of an oversimplification to use those labels. But I would say I'm excited about the quality of candidates we have in Iowa. The Democrats do not have a contest for the Senate. They do not have a contest in the 3rd Congressional District. And they don't have a contest for governor. On the other hand, in the Republican side, we have great candidates running for all of these offices. And I see, in fact, one of the things that's been kind of exciting is to see how well Joni Ernst is doing. We've never elected a woman to the United States Senate in Iowa. I think she's got a really good chance. She's gotten the endorsement of everybody from Mitt Romney to Sarah Palin and also from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to the NRA and even the Des Moines Register. So for a Republican woman, and we got Marionette Miller-Meeks running in a primary in southeast Iowa, she's also was my public health commissioner. And so we got some real talented people. I'm going to support, of course, whoever wins the primary, but I think we've got some people that have the potential to win some seats that Republicans haven't had for a long time, and I'm excited about the quality of candidates and especially the number of women. We have the first woman state auditor, Mary Mosman, who I appointed, and she's a CPA running for that office. My Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds has been a great partner with me, so I think this could be the year of the Republican woman in Iowa.
Quickly, we only have literally 30 seconds left. The gas tax has failed. It wasn't even debated. Nothing passed. Will you push or get behind a gas tax increase for our infrastructure next year?
I think we need to come up with a new approach towards providing funding for infrastructure. I think there's a lot of opposition to just raising the gas tax, and people are going to smaller, more fuel-efficient vehicles. So the gas tax is not going to bring in as much revenue. I've asked Paul Tribino to put together a series of different options, including higher fees for heavier load vehicles traveling across the state of Iowa, and maybe moving from some of the revenue from a gas tax to an excise tax on fuel, like a number of other states have done, which would be more similar to a sales tax. And that would keep up with the price. As prices go up, it would also, just like the sales tax does. So those are some of the options I think we'll look at. And I do think this is an issue that's going to need to be addressed in the future. But we need to have broad-based bipartisan support if anything's going to get done. And in election year, the legislature just wasn't ready to take on the gas tax this year.
Iowa Governor Terry Branstad, thank you for being so generous with your time. And thank you for being on our program once again.
You're welcome. Thank you.
River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.